Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet $100 to get a $100 free bet at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. We're also brought to you by the SGPN store in their big Cyber Monday sale, 20% off everything in the store for one day only this Monday using the code CYBER, that's C-Y-B-E-R, at store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com.
Howdy ho, DeGenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 249. I'm going to send this out to the greatest band in the world, Sloan, who my son and I are obsessed with and who we went and saw on Friday play an amazing concert. But not only that, but before the show, the de facto front man was kind enough to spend some time with my son and take a photo with him and call him a nerd. So this goes out to Sloan and to their front man, Chris Murphy. And all you non-Canadians who don't know who Sloan is, you should plug him into your Spotify and hear some good old Beatles-esque rock and roll straight from the Great White North. But this isn't a Sloan podcast. There already is at least one called Sloan Cast, and I think there's more. But this is a MMA podcast, one of our non-UFC MMA podcasts, that, mind you. No UFC this past week, but there was plenty of MMA action and some historic results. I must say it did go down in the Hulu Theater at Madison Square Gardens this past Friday. So we're going to jump into that, and we're going to see how, I was going to say my co-host picks did, but I made picks as well. And wouldn't you know it, making picks off the top of my head, I'm better than the so-called expert on the podcast. Let's bring in the giggling expert now. He's the one and only Gummy God, Daniel Vreeland. Hello.
Yeah, so I have some thoughts about that. Well, first of all, in terms of saying that you're better than me, did you happen to look through the odds of everybody who won on the two fight cards we broke down?
That's why I did good.
There was one underdog all weekend.
That's why Chalks did well. Our underdogs missed, of course.
It was a 12 fight PFL card.
Yeah,
and we broke down five fights off of Brave CF 66, and one total underdog hit, and it was the second largest underdog on all of those cards, which is pretty crazy.
Yep, it certainly was, and boy, was it ever a underdog. May as well jump right into this right off the get-go. PFL 10, the 2022 championships, went down on Friday from the Hulu Theater at Madison Square Gardens, New York City, New York. Well, we got a bunch of new millionaire winners. We got Aspen Ladd's debut in the promotion. We got some, we got Muhammad Ali's son starching, not son, grandson starching someone. Had a little bit of, we had someone who is an automatic fade, but somehow my co-host didn't fade him. And dude, lo and behold,
I've got,
he looked great strong. And then got knocked out just like like predicted. But we probably shouldn't bury the lead. We probably should start at the top. Do we have a Ronda Rousey part two on our hands? we'll have to discuss this. Larissa Pacheco came through. What was her odds when we broke this down? She was at plus 480.
Yeah, 480. That's
not as high as it really should have been, because she's already lost twice to the, at the time, undefeated Kayla Harrison, who went into the fight 15-0 with two judo gold medals around her neck. Well, I guess she didn't wear them to the cage or into the cage. That would be interesting for an object.
Henry Cejudo would do that.
Henry Cejudo would do that. Kurt Angle would do that as well. But Kayla Harrison isn't cringy, and hopefully she isn't a Ronda Rousey part two here either. She's actually a better judoka, so there you go. And perhaps she will end up having a better MMA career as well. But I'm rambling and rambling. For some reason, I don't want my co-host to talk, but let's let him talk. Pacheco came through. Wasn't even a disputed decision, unanimous decision win over Kayla Harrison, despite losing to her twice already. Sean Sheehan on Sphere MMA posits that this may be the biggest upset in MMA history due to the fact that she had already lost to this woman twice and no one was giving her a chance. I know odds-wise it wasn't the biggest upset, but boy, howdy. Didn't see this coming. I also didn't see the fight. So we're gonna let hopefully let Gumby break it down. I just read about it and saw some highlights, but I was at rocking and rolling, as I said off the top. Go ahead.
So a couple of things. First of all, Xiao Qian could not be more wrong. This is not even remotely close to being the biggest upset in MMA history for a number of reasons. You know, I think I mentioned it when we were breaking it down. They have fought twice, and what happened in both of those fights? It went the distance, which Kayla Harrison had not been previously with anybody else. She finishes everybody else. And Pacheco's out there finishing people. And her only losses were to Kayla Harrison and some very high-level UFC fighters back when she was in the UFC. So for anybody who went in thinking that this was a one-sided beatdown in the making, you may have thought Kayla Harrison was going to win. And I'm on that boat, too. I thought Kayla Harrison was going to win for sure. I thought that not enough had changed from their first two fights to now to make it different, but there wasn't ever a first beatdown. You know, it's not like she went in there and knocked her out in 6 seconds or submitted her in 10 seconds. She had to work 25 hard minutes against her one time and 15 hard minutes the other time. So for all of that, it's not a huge upset, right? Pacheco changed the tenor of this by like two rounds worth, because she won a round in that other one. So like, yeah, like it's an upset. It's a large upset, but it's not the biggest ever. And to your point about her being a potential Ronda Rousey, she's got a couple of things working for her in that direction to stop her. First of all, great team behind her. Yes. I think that's going to help her make improvements and change. Edmund Shabazian, by the way, speaking of, because he's got a fight coming up we're going to talk about in the coming weeks. Do you know he doesn't train under Edmund Tavarian anymore, and he's no longer represented by him either?
All the Edmunds and Edmans are breaking up, are they?
Yeah, so he's now Extreme Couture and Dominance MMA represented. But anyway.
I guess that's a step up. I guess it's improvement. Anything else?
Yes, it is. So I digress. But like, she's got a better team behind her. That's going to help her in the first place. Her mental state afterwards seems to be in a better place than Ronda. She's dejected, but not like, you know, like not going to walk away from the sport dejected. And then the other thing that's going to help her is she is in a division that doesn't really exist anywhere in MMA, right? There's no 155-pound women's. In fact, the one she just lost to was 135-pound women who was bulked up to make it to that division. It's not like Ronda, who ran into Holly Holm and then ran into Amanda Nunes. She ran into Pacheco in a close fight, a fight that was one round apart. And at the end of the day, she's just going to wind up fighting Pacheco again soon, right? Like they talked about not having a 155-pound women's season next year, and she not doing seasons again. She's just going to fight a super fight against Pacheco again. So, yeah, she's in great shape to, like, not have that ruin her career.
Yeah, no, she seems more interested in improving, which you didn't really see from Rousey. So as I put heart, do you see I just accidentally put hearts across the screen during our chat here, Dan, because that's how much I love you. I can't resist putting
I closed the window. Do you just leave the Skype window open?
Sometimes, because I have X'd us out a few times in the past. So
yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, but anyhow, I gave you some hearts. So I think she's I agree with everything you said. I think she is in good stead to actually make a go of this here MMA career. She seems to want it. Maybe this would be the kick in the butt that she needs. But where do you see her needing to improve? Obviously, I mean, she's too grapple heavy at this point, because I hear she was just spamming desperate takedowns at the end of the fight when nothing else was working for her.
Well, the problem with her, and I think she's always going to have a grapple heavy approach.
Yeah, right? Which is fine.
You don't want to go in there and tell Khabib to not grapple anymore because he's one dimensional. Like, this is her best dimension. But at the end of the day, it seemed like she didn't have enough answers jujitsu wise here.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing too.
Yeah, because like some of the scrambles, she didn't wind up in as advantageous of a position as she could. And I think like a little bit of jujitsu there probably would have helped. Also, like, I worried a little bit about her when she was in a guard. She nearly got armbarred. She nearly got triangled. She like, had to work out of positions. And not that Pacheco isn't really good at jujitsu, but, like, if Kayla Harrison is going to be, like, you know, she talked about herself being, like, the GOAT women's grappler of all time. Like, if she's going to be that, she needs to be able to defend some jujitsu, too, in the meantime. And it seemed like that was the toughest part for her.
Yep. Yeah, it's not just she definitely needs obviously more experience with adversity, so this is pretty much the first adversity she's seen in the cage, so hopefully she will learn from it and it'll propel her to more stuff. So we're predicting she stays in the PFL, because you don't want to jump into the UFC with them having the upper hand over you, as most people have to enter the UFC with.
Well, I think she also, if I'm not mistaken, I saw on Twitter, she actually has two fights left on her deal she can't get out of. So
it wasn't just a season thing. I guess she has different ones, obviously.
So I think, honestly, we're talking about, especially if they don't do the season format next year, I'm thinking super fight with Pacheco, super fight with Aspen Ladd, and then see where we're at.
Sounds good. So did you see all these fights? I just saw highlights.
I went back and watched them. I did not. Okay. I even said it in the Discord. I said to Jong, I said, "Hey Jong, I hope you enjoy these fights. I will not be watching them live because there were no methods to watch it other than paying $50 cash, and those fights just could not have been less worth it for me.
It's Christmas time, man. The kids need dinosaur fighting gear for crying out loud. It's life or death.
It's Rambo. Rambo-esque over here.
So pretty exciting fight card from the clips I've seen and from what I've heard. So that one was a decision. The next fight was for next fight down. The card we're going in reverse order, top to bottom, was for the featherweight championship. Brandon Lochnane proved that he probably should have gotten more of a chance in the UFC than he did. For some reason, he's a guy that Dana White doesn't like for some reason, but it doesn't matter.
Shot a takedown with 10 seconds left.
that's all it takes. That's right. I forgot all about that, but still, come on. He's a $1 million winner now, beating Bubba Jenkins, who we had picked, sadly. Knockout, DKO.
Huh? It's because we picked an underdog.
Exactly. The topology has it. That's a straight right to punches and knee. So I hear he was chopping down Jenkins with the leg kicks and then finished him off on the feet. He dropped him and then finished him on the ground and pound.
Smartest thing you could do against a wrestler too is to just chop those legs and eventually work it away so that he's gonna have to box with you, and that's what he did here. And I mean, he made the Jenkins pick look stupid.
Yep. Well, we whiffed on the top two picks. Things are gonna improve, don't worry. I want to tell you about WynnBET, of course, our big sponsor who's always there for us. Ready to win money and boost your odds? WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. As I've said in the past, if you don't live in one of those states, time to move. We're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards are right at your fingertips with Wynn Rewards on WynnBET. Looking to get involved in a same game parlay? Who isn't? WynnBET is your home with their WynnBET Build Your Own Bet, letting you customize the bet you want to make. Speaking of parlays, Kayla Harrison messed up Dan's makeshift parlay for this event. But anyhow, great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. WynnBET has what you need to win. Ready to play. Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet $100, win $100. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. So you know we sent you that sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And it's Cyber Monday. It may be Cyber Monday as you hear these words in your ears. If you're not one of our diehards that listen to it the second it drops, but we love you all regardless. 20% off everything in the merch store using promo code Cyber, C-Y-B-E-R. Here's where you go. store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com. One day only. Make sure you get the Gumby Vreeland shirt at the very least, and then get some more, get some MMA gambling podcast gear. And then you can go and check the gear off for the other other amazing podcasts we have here. So once again, Cyber is your code. store.sportsgamblingpodcast.com. One day only sale. Tomorrow, or today when you're listening to this, or if you're listening to this in the future, you missed out on the amazingness. All right, next up, heavyweights. This is where we got it right. Anti Dalia. That's it, right? Dalia. Yes.
Yeah.
I've heard it a billion times, and I'm still saying it wrong. KO punches. We saw this coming. It only took him 250 to knock up Matthias Scheifel and claim his first championship in the PFL after falling short in the finals last year.
Yeah, this is not much to say about this one. Just steamrolled him exactly the way we thought he would, walked him down, and finished him with punches.
So how good is he? I know it's hard with heavyweights that aren't in the UFC. Actually, it used to be the opposite. Heavyweights in the UFC were suspect. Heavyweights outside the UFC were the real deal back in the glory days. But obviously, things have changed.
You know, it's kind of hard for me to say. The fact that he beat Henan Ferreira is a big one for me.
Right.
The fact that he lost in the finals last year to Bruno Capoloza is kind of like a detraction for me. But when you run it all together, I think at the end of the day, what you have to say, and this is what I learned a little bit from my discussions with Olivier Albal-Mercier and Stevie Ray, there's just like no time to get better during a PFL season. There's no time to fix things. Like, the fighter you are at the beginning of the season is the fighter you are at the end of the season. So like, given 3 months to just sit there and like work on things, he might be entirely better from this whole season, but in the meantime, he isn't any better than his first fight in this season.
Yeah, that's the thing that Albal-Mercier was I think it was him that was saying to you on your other podcast, Top Turtle, how you really can't work. He said his cardio is and his physical conditioning is the greatest he's ever been, because nonstop camps, but you can't really work on things during the PFL season.
Yeah, so that for me is a big, you know, like he looks like he did when he beat Matthew Scheffel back in April, because he knocked him out in the second round back in April, and he knocked him out in the first round now in
well, that's improvement.
November. Yeah, so that's over 7 months, it's a mild improvement. But at the end of the day, like, what happens when he goes back to the drawing board and is like, man, look at all these things I did this season that I wish I did a slightly differently. Yeah. Will he be a much better fighter? I think so. And then I think we'll have a better grasp of what he looks like at the end of the day.
Okay. Speaking of Albal-Mercier, Dan faded the Quebec kid, the Canadian gangster, the Canadian tuxedo, wrongly. I picked him and I hit it because he came through. He being Albal-Mercier. Knockout, right hook of Stevie Ray. We did not see the knockout coming.
No, that's what I was just going to ask you.
That's not his path to victory whatsoever, but he was very emotional after winning, very, very happy, and boy, he came through in the clutch here.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, you know, I missed a couple of fights here. Yeah. Obviously, I missed those first two that we talked about. I missed this one right here, too. I don't feel bad about missing this one, because anybody who is like, Olivier Albal-Mercier is going to go out there and hit a right hook on Stevie Ray and flatline him. Dude, I mean,
it was more of a jab, really, wasn't it? He dropped him as a jab, I think.
I think it was a hook, but I could be wrong.
That makes it sound better for Ray, at least.
But he dropped him, and he dropped him hard. So, yeah, like, this is a unfortunate miss, but at the end of the day, yeah, like, this is exactly this is who a lot of people thought was going to win, but I don't feel bad about not predicting him by knockout.
It's only his second career knockout in fight 22, so... Yeah, you got to play the numbers here. You can't be betting that. I skipped over a non-title fight that was in the middle of this. We mentioned already Aspelad. This one was a controversial split decision over Julia Budd. Like I said, didn't see it.
Was it controversial?
I don't know.
Was...
I've heard some people say they thought Budd won, but I didn't see. I don't even think I saw highlights. I just wanted to see if she made it to the scale, which she did. So.
Well, let me tell you who had it for Aspen.
Sean Sheehan did, I know, but he worked for Sherdog.
Sean Sheehan did, but so did two other Sherdog guys had it for Bud.
Yeah, he's Sherdog affiliated now too, so maybe he's rubbing off.
And don't get me wrong, there were a lot of people who did have it for Bud. I'm not discrediting what you're saying. Yeah, you're right. It was closer than I think a lot of people had it, but I still had the first two for Aspen Ladd and the third one for Bud. Overall, close fight. Aspen Ladd still doesn't look like a great version of herself. But yeah, like I think she won. I think the right decision was there.
Has the ship sailed on her? Maybe it sailed a while ago on her being what we thought.
Oh, 1,000%
she would be. Yeah,
1,000%. Yeah, because like if she's out here questionably. Yeah, she's out here questionably split decisioning Julia Budd in a 145 fight. Like,
yeah,
she's not what we thought she was anymore. And that's not to say she can't have a great and lucrative career and maybe do some wild things in PFL.
Win $1 million.
But it's just like she is not the future world beater we thought she was.
Yeah. Lightweight championship. We already did that one. Aubin Mercier. Congrats to my fellow Canadian. I hear this one was a snoozer. Welterweight championship. And I got it wrong. So Sada Busai, the Swedish Denzel Washington came through over Delano Taylor. Was it as bad as I hear?
It was bad. I will say two things about this one. Number one is I said Sada Busai is the safer, more technical fighter, and he was gonna be careful the whole fight and probably win a point fight. That was incredibly correct. That's the first thing I'll say. The second thing I'll say is this is a fight that happened, and there's not really much more that has to be said about it.
All right, good enough. This next fight was not boring, mostly because Rob Wilkinson has a mustache, so can never go wrong there. He won the light heavyweight championship. Knockout doctor stoppage over Omari Akhmedov at the end of after two rounds. They stopped the fight. So
yeah, you
battered the boy, didn't he?
Yeah, you got to give Akhmedov a lot of credit for surviving as long as he did, because this was a one-sided beatdown. Wilkinson just looks like the real deal, man. I kind of like to see him a lot against a lot of 205ers in the UFC. You know, not that I think he'd be an instant champ or an instant contender, but like, man, he has really looked like he's improved since he left the UFC.
But is he willing to take a massive pay cut? That's the thing.
Yeah, I mean, right? Like that's
but it's true.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to win $1 million in the UFC, at least not for some time.
Yep. All right. So that's all our champions. What else? I'll just zip through the next. Magomed Karimov won, as we predicted. Decision over Gleison Tibau. If you want to interrupt at any point, go right ahead.
That's that one's easy.
All right, Dakota Dicheva. I saw highlights of this. She looked really good. Knocking.
Of course
out.
She did. She was fighting somebody who was 2-0 and 10 years older than her or some shit.
There you go. Right hook and hammer fist. So we're not impressed by that. I missed the funniest one. Shaman Marais knocked out Marlon Marais 58 seconds into round three. It took longer than expected, but once Marlon Marais. Once you touch him on the chin, it's all over. And that's what happened. And the fight went, but we'll have to admit, Dan did pick the wrong Marais, but he did predict how the fight would go. Marlon would look good until he wasn't.
Well, and I'll say this too. I gotta put some respect on Marlon Marais' name and a little respect on my technical breakdown here. Because not only did I say Marlon Marais would use some wrestling, he would be the better and more technical of the strikers. I also said that Shaman Marais is not a guy who headhunts, and that was going to be the big deterrent of his ability to beat Marlon Marais. And for two rounds, the dude didn't headhunt. Then for two rounds, he did exactly like I thought he would. Marlon Marais walked through it, outstruck him, used his wrestling, and looked like he needed to win. And in the third round, Shaman Marais' corner must have said, hey, you got to go knock him out. Go strike only to the head in this round. And it looks like he should have been doing that the whole time, because it was, like you said, it just took one.
He's got a big bullseye on his head if he didn't before this match.
But it's wild that he didn't throw there for two rounds, much like I predicted he wouldn't. And then just in the third round, he's like, well, I guess I got to.
Yeah. So Marlon Marais has to go away. Like, they got to stop letting him fight.
I agree. Could you imagine if this was supposed to be him versus Shane Burgos, by the way?
Oh, God, that would have been a lot quicker.
Yeah. Yeah, it would have been more merciful.
Yeah. Okay. So we did that. And then Muhammad Ali's grandson, as I said, looked very good in the opener, starching Tom Grace.
Also against the bomb. You also missed Natan Schultz versus Jeremy Stephens.
Oh, yeah. All right. Tell me about that. Jeremy Stephens is bad, and he kept going into the same submissions and finally had the tap out, right?
Jeremy Stephens, Got taken down quickly in the first round, put in an arm triangle choke, nearly finished for 3.5 minutes. And then you're like, oh, good, he got out of that. Maybe he won't get caught in it again, and immediately was caught in it again in the second time cap. So, yeah.
He's got to go away, too. At least he's not getting knocked out. But that's 21 losses now in his career.
I think he's done.
Who knows?
You can't put him in that season, right?
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. Yeah.
Like, you're going to put him and Anthony Pettis in that season? You can't have a whole bunch of old guys that get beat up.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. That's PFL's problem, not ours. So that was that. I went 9-3. I made $50. Dan went 8-4 and lost 90, about 89. So hopefully you do better in the real world where you don't bet on every fight. So that is PFL. Brave CF also went down. Did you watch any of that?
I did. Yeah.
You went 4-1 and you made $18. So tell us all about it.
So I almost went 5-0. I will say, so while, well, let's start with the, I'll just give a quick rundown. Main event, Chad Haddockum. I said, dude is UFC level talent. If you haven't seen this knockout yet, go to our Twitter at SGPNMMA on Twitter. Cause I tweeted out a clip of it courtesy of Brave. It is maybe the most devastating elbow I've ever seen from the clinch. This is incredible. And I want to see this guy in the UFC. He's super exciting.
You sound like Dana White on a Contender Series show.
Say that again?
You sound like Dana White on a Contender Series
show. This is legitimately like one of the better elbows I've ever seen. And I wonder what he could do against even like fringe top 15 guys.
Oh, that is bad. Sorry, yeah, I just watched it.
And his arms go up in the air. They lock. Yeah. So it's one of those kind of.
Wow. Yeah. He kneed him in the chin first, which I'm sure helped. And then, wow, finishes him off with a massive elbow to the temple. Anyway.
Yeah. So Haddockum, real deal. Good stuff. Then we also had Asu Almabayev in the co-main event. He was fighting a guy who was 1-0 on late notice. And he looked like a hot prospect fighting a guy who's 1-0 on late notice. Picked up a rear naked choke. I also had Nasoki Edebele beating Fajar, and he did that with a pretty nice knockout as well. The only one I missed on the whole card was Junior Tapa, Justin Tapa's brother, who when we talked about it, was a minus 300 favorite. By fight time, he was a minus 600 favorite. I had his opponent, Nicholas Jurjevic, who is a 41-year-old man, who I have to say, while he got knocked out in 2 minutes and 2 seconds, he took down Tapa, had him handcuffed, and was just like badgering him with punches. Finally, Tapa got back to his feet, and he was like, oh, it turns out I only have 2 minutes of cardio. And it was over right there. So I feel good about that one. Like, the takedown was there, and my read on Junior Tapa being a guy who is going to be susceptible to takedowns and ground and pound in the near future, I think is really astute. Like, I think this guy's got a long way to go before we're talking about him at any high level. And then the opener, I had Zagid Gadarov beating Abel Brites, and he did. Big, devastating knockout punch, just like he did on that clip I shared in our Discord, which, by the way, you can check out those extra clips and stuff in our Discord at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. So make sure you do that. But yeah, 4-1, all favorites. The closest upset to happening was like a plus 500 guy, and it was the one I picked. So I feel pretty good about that.
All right.
Plus so 4-1 is 4-1 is my brand, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That is totally Gumby brand, and we should get some 4-1 Gumby gear out there, should we not? We should. Powers that be, make it happen.
Yeah. 4-1.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll go over. sell like hotcakes. Apparently, hotcakes sell. So, selling like hotcakes. Anything else from non-UFC action for the weekend we need to discuss, or could we put this to bed?
I think we can put this one to bed.
We may as well make our non-UFC episodes a little quicker. Yeah, we don't need to go on and on. We told you everything you need to know. That's important. Tomorrow we are going to be back though. Just kick off a UFC week, but we're going to kick it off with the non-UFC episode as per usual. We will be talking about the biggest promotion in the world with their 27.8 billion viewers of every episode. That would be one fighting championship. Has two events going on this weekend. And when there's two events in one, we're actually going to have enough fights that Gumby's interested in to combine.
It took two, let's be honest.
You know, which promotion do you disdain the most, Gumby? Bellator or ONE? You hold both. You seem to disdain having to make picks for either of those promotions.
I will say this. So I think Bellator I appreciate Bellator more being like a promotion that focuses on MMA. They've like finally given up that kickboxing branch.
Yeah.
But like, I am not a guy who likes to watch a whole bunch of like kickboxing, Muay Thai, even like competitive grappling. Like, I'll watch it once in a while if it's like the highest level dudes, but like, I don't really like watching a lot of competitive grappling. I like watching MMA. So ONE pisses me off just because like, you'll see a card and you'll be like, oh, cool, title fight. I wonder what else is on it. And it's like 37 kickboxing matches.
Yep.
So I think they're better at matchmaking at ONE. I think they have mostly better talent. Like, they're good at like having their own people rather than having just UFC cast-offs largely.
Yeah.
But I don't like watching it more. I like watching Bellator more, surprisingly. Okay.
All right. So there you go. We are MMA snobs around these parts. So hopefully you are too, because we're breaking down that tomorrow. In the meantime, our Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. Get in there. No matter what you're interested in, there is a channel in there for you to chat with a bunch of other like-minded people. As we said, Twitter, SGP and MMA is the account Gumby runs for us. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. He's at Gumby Vreeland. All our writings on various sports, not just MMA, are at sportsgamblingpodcast.com, as are a bunch of other amazing people's writings on every sport underneath the sun. So head over there. Or if you don't like reading, you can head over to our pick pages there. It's just a simple breakdown of picks from our experts for whatever sport you're interested in. So we got that. And if you want to read more of my stuff about MMA, fighter rankings, stats, fighter salary payouts, all that type of stuff, mostly number based articles, along with my free pick 'em contest, you can go to my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. So that is all you need to know from us. As I said, we'll be back tomorrow. I'm going to let Gumby take you home because I don't have any nicknames in my head right now. So go ahead.
I'm David Gumby Freeland. He's Walking Trouble Jeff Fox.
Yep.
And we will see you tomorrow.